I'm just explaining that who is in a position to serve God or God in man, whom or whom he has his grace, sets his grace. Nobody else can do the service under him, first of all. What is the criterion that it is he who wants to serve him, he brings people nearer to him to serve him in his mission or at home in other affairs. You know who is attuned with Naam or the world of power when God wishes it. Through whom, in whatever human fold, he is manifest. The manifest is God in him, gives a contact to the others with the world and Naam, the controlling power which is already within him, by withdrawing his attention from outside. Those people who have been initiated, it is through the grace of God alone that they have been initiated. So the very fact that a man is initiated, it is his grace that he wants the children to come to him. He gives them a contact through some human pole, that whose human pole is manifest, the God in him. So the greatest service is just to be attuned, to attune yourself to the Naam power within you, the light and sound principle, which is the way back to absolute God. Now the question arises, those who are taken direct in service under him, to carry on the work in his mission, Nahar and home, he selects whom the God in him. It is not man himself can do it. And those who have been selected to work in that mission, this is his grace. Everybody is not working in the mission. Nor everybody is brought in closer contact. This is his grace. When God wants anybody to come near him, he places him in a position where he can serve him direct, at home or in his mission. So this is his grace. So who can serve God in the God in man, whom he himself wishes? The criterion is that first, when he is given Dharma initiation, that is his, with his grace only the man is given initiation. Those who have been given initiation, it means they are, God wishes them to bring them closer to him. First in soul, then outward. So for that he says every day we should put in time for meditation as much as we can, so that the inner master, the radiant form of the master may manifest to him. He may talk to me heart to heart, get his guided time. This is one side. The other outer service is given only to such, those who are also selected by him. Those are given some work in the mission, as the work is carrying out. Others are brought us still closer to carry another work in his direct supervision, direct contact. This is all his grace that induces one to come near in him. And he gives. Those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. Sometimes we are selected for that purpose, and the service that is given to us, we think perhaps we are the master of that. The little ego within us naturally asserts. He says, well, I am doing this. This is not service. The service of the master is to just carry on the work as master wishes at his heart. By doing service at which the master is pleased, that service is alone can be called a service, truly service. Others are not service. Those are something brought nearer to the master. In one way or the other, Virago asserts They say, oh, I am carrying out this and that thing. Even that assertion result is that it is not sweet in all his affairs, you see. Assert the human command. He does not take himself to a puppet in the hands of the mind. There should be selfless service always. So those who have been selected for the service of the Master in one way or the other to carry on his work here, anywhere, under his direct supervision, you see, or those who have been selected to work quite nearer to him, or more nearer to him, this is his grace, the God in him. So God, those people only can serve God or God in man whom God wishes. Those who have been selected, it means that the God special grace of them. But what we do, you see, when you are brought together, we sometimes take it up as a business question for compensation in one way or the other. The result is that our Master used to give one instance, just like when a calf, when it comes to the cow, you see, when it comes nearer the cow, just so all its milk, you know, let loose. Whereas those near, live near him, they just suck the blood on the, what you say, the milk outside, the bag of the milk in the cow, you see, they simply squeeze the blood, suck the blood, not the milk, they don't drink the milk. So it means what it is, if you want to serve the God in man or God, it can be done only through his grace, if he wishes, nobody else can do it. If one is brought in that connected, he has been selected to do like that, it means that God wishes him, it is his grace that he has been selected. When you are selected for one purpose, then do it joyously, quietly, lovingly, selflessly. Thank God that you have been selected for that job. You are brought in that arrangement to carry on the work. It is His grace. So first of all, he should be true to the Master within him. When he sees the individual, he is always afraid of not to do anything which is wrong, which is against his wishes, whether in his presence or in his absence. This is one thing. As he will go on like that, he will always thinking of the Master. The result will be, as you think, so you become. By and by you will find that it is he who is working in me and not I. Saint Paul says, it is Christ, it is I, it is not no I, it is Christ lives in me. It is the ultimate goal. Now the point is, who have been, those who are they who are selected for the carrying on the work of the service under the Master, whom the God has His gracious, I mean intention, grace, His grace there. Right? Those who are selected, they should be thankful that they have given that service. They should carry it selflessly. Always thinking that he is serving the God in him, the God in man, because he is who has just selected you for that purpose. So the criterion it is that you have been given initiation, that you are brought closer in a near circle, and then you are just given some job to do under the Master. This is selection, this is his special grace. We should prove our derive full benefit. We should prove worthy of the job, you see. And also derive full benefit from the job we have been given. Only that we can do by doing selflessly, as a mere puppet in his hand, what he sees. So any service done with the will and pleasure of the Master, in which there is no self-assertion, that bears fruit and fulfilled. Those who have been selected for this service under him, it is special grace of God in them. They should be thankful for that. Otherwise, even by the living nearer to the Master, after you stand up there also. You simply go at once. So this was the subject today, that those who have been initiated by the God in man, this is with His grace only, and not known that. So he should develop that by observing regular precautions, restrictions, you see, so that he may dwell within, go within, and meet the radiant form of the Master within, talk to him heart to heart. This is one side. And sometimes you are selected for that job. What is this job? To bring all children of God together. To prove yourself as an example to the other people. You see, an example is better than precept. You have been given one job. Do this job, please. In this mission, here or anywhere, or in the direct context. So those who have been selected for that purpose, they are most fortunate. But they should perform those duties with no assertion of ego in them, just to please the Master. Selfless and no compensation in return. It is for him to give what he wishes, which is what man is fit for, and what he thinks best for him. So when you do service of such a God in man, naturally, you the compensator, what compensation you can give, he will bring you back first for the outer world, then unite him with God forever. This is the criterion to know those who are brought to quite and closer contact. They are more fascinating. So if the God in man wishes, you see, he doesn't love each one of you. He wishes good of yours, then I think it will be God that is wishing good of yours. Witnesses. So you know, follow what is what, you see. Those who are initiated with the special grace of God, the purpose is their soul must go back to the lap of the Father. Through the light and sound principle which emanates from the Absolute God. The other is when he is selected for some job, that is his special grace further on the man to carry on the work. So those who want to just bring him just nearer to him, he gives him some job to do. He gives him some duty to perform. If he does it selflessly with no ego within it, that bears no fruit. You see. When he sees that everything goes on according to my will and pleasure, then naturally you are one with him. You have got no will of your own. His will is your will, and his will is God's will with it. That's all. So be thankful, each one of you who have been initiated first, that will be given the way back to Absolute God. But when he has selected you for some particular duty or some duty, you are still more fortunate. But perform it with full faith, devotion and selflessness. He will give you what? He will give you his own place. Then he will come. Sixth Guru, Guru Hargobind. So he asked somebody to recite Japji, that is one part of the Guru Granth of the Sikh literature, you see. He said, who will recite this particular part of the literature with one single-minded attention, he give him what he likes. But sensei, without any single-minded, with no other attention, intention or any thought coming in, including with him. So one man started, you see, came here. He began to recite that devotion of Japji. When he went on single-mindedness, when he reached to the end, you see, he thought it very beautiful. Heart has come to the Master if he gives me that. You see, quite at the close of the that are the scriptures, in that part of the scripture, that he just woke up. And the master gave him, let you have that horse. And he told him, look here, had you not wanted this, I would have given my seat. You follow me? Those who do selflessly, with single-minded attention, he wants everyone be to his own self, duty, bring you to one with himself. Those who want something, that is given, of course, but the selfless service of Master is the highest, I will, good fortune, I would say. But who does it? Whom God wishes, who sends it to it. So you are fortunate, who have been initiated first of all. Those who have been selected for the job under the far as mission or direct contact, they are still more fortunate. But mind that they should be selfless. There should be no assertion of self. I am. For this little thing, you see, you simply instead of deriving good, full good, you derive very little good or no good. So be thankful that you have been given initiation and you have been selected, though they have been selected for their particular purpose of carrying on his mission or spending his mission, that is, they are still more fortunate. Those who deny full benefit, sometimes doing service, you think we are above the master. You may be as good as the master, that's another thing. You cannot be above the master. In the assumption of yourself, you sometimes go so far. The result is, he doesn't deny full benefit. We may be as good as master, that's all right. We cannot be above master. Servant is servant, the Lord is Lord. If he doesn't accept him for his service, then can you force him? That's one of the reasons why, even by having initiation, we do not derive the full benefit of what we want. Even by living closer to the master, even then we don't derive the full benefit. But it is for him to select, to give whatever he likes best, you see. You are just reading, you see, something about righteousness, you see. Saint Augustine was asked, what he wanted? To know God. It was Zoroaster, I mean, not Saint Augustine. He said, righteousness. The people ask him, what is it? What defines righteousness? What is righteousness? He said, good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. The whole thing depends on your attention, or soul, to what is called, you see, which is the outward expression of soul. Wherever you keep it engaged, attached, always those very thoughts should be reverberating within you. We have to make the best use of the things, of course, but we are not to be attached. If only we can just attach our soul to something higher within us, that is within us. But if our attention is just diverted to the outgoing faculties, so much so that it becomes identified with the outer things, what is the result? You cannot withdraw your attention from there. It's the whole question of attention and sort. Either to keep it engaged in outside things or inward and attach it to you, your own self. So for that you see we are driven away outside to the outgoing faculties. Audition, hearing, smelling, taste and touch. These are five outgoing faculties working to five physical outgoing outlets. So unless these are withdrawn from outside, are closed, not to receive any impressions from outside through these outgoing faculties, only then you can have some awareness of your own self, and also you can contact the higher self within you. That is God within you, the light is something. So what is righteousness? Not to be attached to outside, but to make you make you the whole outer things. You are not to leave the world, of course, but you have to make the best use of this good thing. So you go to a garden, you enjoy it, all flowers, all plantations, woodlands, I mean meadows. Enjoy it the whole day. Nobody would question you. But the very moment you just well, cut the flowers, or I to do like that, then the God in charge will take you to task and put it to jail, you see. What is it for? So we are here to make the best use of all our two things, but not to be attached. Make these things a stepping stone to reach your higher self, you see. Even at this stage, are given up, become identified with any enjoyment outside. So much so that you cannot even withdraw from that. Then that is what would be the result. How can we invert and have that contact within you, with God, which is given at the time of initiation? So this outer faculty should be under our control. Whenever we like, we may make the best use of them. If not, they should not drag us away. So it is the master, if you obey him literally, then he will make you the master of your own home. Your own faculties should serve as your servants, not as your master. Now they drag you away, whether you wish it or not. So whatever you do, 1 day, 2 days, 10 days, a month or two, naturally that becomes habit. Habit is strengthened into nature. And that you want to go somewhere else and you are attached somewhere, your mind goes that way, your feet may be going the other way. So you follow what is needed. The God is within you. Unless you withdraw from your outside, how can you contact? So if you are attached to outside things, you cannot withdraw from outside. So you go out of this building. You are the same. When you leave this body, you are not changed, you see. You are what you are now. After leaving the body, you cannot become a learned man. You are attached here, even now while you live in the world, you are attached. All of your attention over there, where will you go? Where you are attached? When you leave the body, then where will you go? Where you are attached? So, where should we attach ourselves? Soul is conscious entity. It should be attached to the old self, all consciousness. Even in life, then when you remain in the world, even then you won't be attached to the world. You will be in the world, yet out of it. When you leave the body, you will go to the feet of the Lord. That's all. So we must have control on all our outward faculties. We should be able to use it when we require, not drive outside. So for that reason, this diaries are intended. There's nothing more like that. You must know where you are attached. Suppose you are given some contact within with the grace of God. You see light of God within you. You have the sound principle. That is more attentive, of course, when you have turned your whole attention to that. That will just like touchstone that will drag you. But when that very thing you see attached outside, how can even those who are given the gift of contact with the Lord within, if they don't care for keeping their self-restraint, I would say. First is this thing that requires self-restraint. And the other is only then you can have some control of yourself and then direct your attention wherever you like. Only then you can have some control of yourself and then direct your attention wherever you like. So first thing is to see our Lord, but true living is still our truth. Ethical life is stepping stone to spirituality. Remain where you are, you must judge yourself where you before and where you are now. You find some of the initiates make progress too. But they don't keep their diary self introspection. The result is they leave off their practices and they are attached to outside things, one or the other. And the result is slowly dancing what he sees before that is all stopped. But in the eyes of him, he is very straight. But within his own self, he is just what you say, not true to one's own self, not to the God within him, one thing. What did he do? He weeps inside, but in the eyes of him, he is a very good man. Really, he is not. But the God sees within us what he is. This is most necessary, as I told you. Our life should be of self-restraint, good character. You see, love God. God is within all, love all humanity. For the sake of the love of God, you love all others. If you forget the Lord, then you are attached. Where will you go? Where you are attached. Now you see how important it is to remain a self-restraint. Make use of anything that he wants. Now we are dragged. You see? Irresistibly to outright sense. You have to live in the world and quite detached. When you want to use one faculty, use it, that's when you live it. It is not so with us now. For that purpose we are given contact within with the light and sound principle within us. When you get more bliss there, let your outward attachments are cut off. Apparently you may be living in the world, eating, drinking, this and that, but you are not attached to the world. You are only making the best use of it. Just as a man when he goes to the garden and enjoys himself. When he returns, if he wants, any time. So similarly you will find it is most important to have such a heart which is attached to God, not to the world. If you take poison, of the Master used to say, poison, that creates trouble within the, within us. He cries, you see. But what he should do? He should stop eating any more poison, you see, so that the other may be clear. But he cries, all the same he continues taking more poison. But what he does? This poison comes through the outward faculty from outside. We receive impressions from outside through eyes, through ears, through the tongue, through smelling, through touch. So we must have a life of self-restraint. Only such a man can progress from day to day. By regularity, you see, and also by self-introspection. It's most important. The very soul, the outer expression of which is called conflict, attention, our soul. If that is the nature outside, how can you see within? No, I cannot see back to back. If I have too much attention, okay, how can I would not dare and even care to look at the back. Unless I turn my face from this and look there, only then I can see them. So same thing is, if we invert our attention within, only then we can see. He is there already waiting for us. Those who are initiated, they are given something, some capital to start with. By regular practice and self-introspection, self-restraint, we have to develop it more and more from day to day. So you will get more bliss here, naturally in the world you remain, but you are not attached. So we should see where we stand, where we stood before, 2 years back, or a year back, where we now stand. Generally, we see that we are better before, not now. Why? We should progress, So I've seen some initiates, they have made some progress, but still they have dwindled back. Only for the decision. So one must be true to one's own self. God is within you. The Guru or the Master Power is within you.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you just heard was from two morning talks. One was titled The True Service of God or God and Man, given by Master on November 23, 1967. And the second was called Righteousness, Detachment, Self-Restraint, given by Master on November 24, 1967. Our reader this evening is Eric Love. Go ahead, Eric.
Thank you. And God bless us all here. The talk I'll be reading from first is called Don't Think Evil of Others. It's from Morning Talks. Never hurt anybody. We hurt others by thinking ill of them. We think ill of others. We scheme. This is wrong, as thoughts are very potent. When you think ill of others, that reacts to them like a telegraph wire. You may not be telling anybody anything, but if you think of them, radiation is there. Once Akbar, who was a great emperor of India, was told by his minister that thoughts were very potent and that great care should be taken in what we think of others. Akbar asked his minister how he knew this. The minister said, "All right, I will give you a concrete example. Let's go outside." So both of them went outside, and they saw one man coming towards them at a distance of a few furlongs. The minister said to the king, "Look here, just think something about this man in your mind. And when he comes near, you might ask him what crossed his mind at that time. You're only to look and think." The king thought in his mind that this man should be shot. The man approached the king, and the king asked him, "When you saw my face, what thoughts crossed your mind?" The man said, "Emperor, excuse me, but I thought that I should beat you with my fists and break your head." So thoughts are very potent. If you think evil of others, the other man will react. You should be careful how you speak to people. If you speak ill to another and say, "You are a fool," and things like that. Or if somebody calls you a name and you react in the same way, what is the result? There will be a flare-up. A man calls you once, twice, and that results in a fight. This is by words. The very root is a thought. A man speaks out of the abundance of his heart. Whatever is lying there, those things take the form of words. And words lead to fighting. So don't hurt the feelings of others. In thought, word, or deed. Even in very religious places, if a dozen men are working together, they start thinking evil of one another, with the result that the thoughts radiate and react in another's mind. Follow my point? The heart is the throne of God. The body is the temple of God. If you defy the throne where God is, then who will sit there? So blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Purity mainly lies in not taking evil of others in thought, word, and deed. There are other factors too, but this is the main factor. Wherever you sit, even in an ashram, if one man thinks of somebody else, that goes around like anything. Just like a plague, an infection, a rat infested by plague goes around and spreads that infection everywhere. So this is a very strict condition. Don't be the unpaid apprentices of the CID of God. Don't take the law in your own hands. If you think good of others, you will radiate good. If you purify your mind, you will purify the minds of others. By thinking ill of others, we spoil our own temples of God first, then defile them. Outwardly, we are all right, quite clean, but our hearts are impure. If we were defiled by thinking ill of others, we are all parts of the same machinery. If one part is out of order, the machinery will stop working. That's why it said, wanted reformers, not of others, but of themselves. Charity begins at home. We should first reform ourselves. Example is better than precept. So today's subject is, don't think evil of others in word, deed, or mind. If you think of anybody else, always think good of them. Why? Because they are your brothers and sisters in God. God is active in every heart. Our bodies are the temples of God. If we think evil, first we defile our temples, then we defile others. Instead, we should think, peace be unto all the world over, under thy will, O God. This is what Guru Nanak gave out in his prayer. Let all the world be happy. How can it be happy if you defile everybody? So the foremost thing is not to think evil, speak evil, or hear evil of others. If you come to know something, then it is for you just to keep it to your own self and try to privately tell others concerned for their own well-being. We should not become reformers of each other. We should reform ourselves first. If we have sympathy for others, we should tell them privately what we think that they are doing wrong. Then the other person will care to listen. If a blind man is there, and you say, oh, blind man, you will take it to heart. If we simply say, well, dear friend, when did you lose your sight? The purpose is served. There are ways and means to express. So speaking, you might say, is an art. The same words that carry a loving and peaceful effect can also create fire. This is what we have to guard against. So we should not think evil of others at heart, in mind, word, or deed. God is not difficult to meet, but it is difficult to be a man. Man is in the make. God is seeking after a man who is a man. So when you are ready, God will come and also give you a commission. I went to London, I remember on my first tour, and there were two children about 7 or 8 years old. that were given initiation for hearing. I asked them, what do you want? We want to become masters, they said. All right, I said. You have been put on the way, improved, progress on the way, and you might be selected as a master. God is after finding out some man who is a man, so that his work may go on. It is not for us to pray for this, but for God to select who is fit for the job. Hankering or only propaganda to have that position, which is not in a man's hands, won't do. It is a commission from God. I told the children, well, you may become a master. That's all right. You have been put on the way. Go on with it, and you may be selected as a master. Each one has, after all, to come to perfection. It is no sin. Every saint has his past and every sinner his future. This starts where? From our own self. First of all, we should not think evil. If there is evil in your mind, out of the abundance of the heart, the man speaks, that radiates by thought and by word. First and foremost, this is the teaching of the masters. We should examine our own self and see how we stand, where we stand. Because these things are there, how can we aspire to become masters? So purity of mind is essential. Let it not be defiled by thinking of the evil thoughts. You should pray for forgiveness. You should also forget and forgive. Generally, we do not forget. We say, oh, I don't mind, but that poison goes on working in our mind. That affects sooner or later. So when anybody hurts your feelings in word or in deed, forgive. Forgiveness is the only sweet water that will wash away all dirt. Justice won't do it, my man. If you want justice, then that will react. Forgiveness only washes away all dirt. Forgive and forget. This is the way to spirituality. A man once went to Lord Buddha and began to insult him like anything. He went on this way for 1, 2, 3 hours till it got dark. When night fell, he wanted to go away. So Lord Buddha said, dear friend, just tell me one thing. Man asked what Buddha wanted to know, to which Buddha replied, if anybody brings some present to somebody, and if that person does not accept it, with whom is it left? And the man replied, with the person who brings the present. Well, said Buddha, the present you have brought, I do not accept it. So these are things to be developed in us and lived up to. If you live up to them, your thoughts, your radiation will change. It is not a matter, I think, of acting or posing, it is a matter of living. The masters used to say, those who live up to what I say, I am their servants. They are my bosses. I will serve them the best I can. Truly any son who would be obedient to his father and would do all things what he wants, naturally, he is most dear to the father. This is done not by mere outward ascent, acting or posing, because the mind radiates. The master knows the mind, not the outward things. These things are not explained in journal talks. They are heart-to-heart talks in which you are being given these topics. The secret of success is to keep your mind on the Lord. Now I'm going to go over and read a little bit from the talk called Change Your Habits Now. And it was given at an ashram in Delhi. It was published February 1971 issue at Sandesh. And I'm going to go down a little bit. Okay. Everyone makes mistakes. I remember I went on leave from my office once, and on returning found that two clerks had been dismissed. When I took the case to the controller for appeal, he began to question the merit of it, but I asked him, is there any person without faults? You will not find anyone who has not done something wrong, and the punishment for mistakes should not be dismissal, for not only the man will suffer, but his wife and children also. He should be taught what is correct. They were reinstated in service. If these teachings are no new thing, then try to fully understand them now and take them into your lives. If we could learn to obey and keep the diary, we would become gods and goddesses. Do not discuss or wrangle intellectually over the subject, but think carefully. Have you not come here to keep the company of the truth? Then why keep the company of others? This disease has ever been inevitable and will continue, but the masters come to prescribe the cure by making us realize the truth. In Swamiji's Shabd, he laments over the situation. Many days of attendance at satsang have passed. Now give up your old habits. Oh man, it is time now to discard your habits, your old disreputable habits, and adopt new ones. Habits are formed by repeatedly doing the same things. So we should first unravel all the bad actions, lies, hypocrisy, cheating, criticism of others, enmity, avarice, malice, backbiting, and various others. If you do not intend to change these ways, what is the use of attending satsang? Your steps are forward, but your mind is retrogressing. Satsang is the means of making us into something beautiful, but not by merely repeating God's name. Change your habits now into good ones, for habit turns into nature with time. Cast away all negative thoughts and instill positive ones in their place. If a person does wrong, forgive him, and he in turn should forgive your misdeeds. In the Quran Sharif, it is written, even God has no thought for him who has no inclination to change. How can we expect other people to show excellent examples? If we ourselves would change, the whole world would change with us. It is a message for all. One of the worst habits is that of criticizing others. All virtues exercised in righteous living are good, but that of ahimsa, paramo, dharam, non-violence in thought, is the highest. It can become a daily habit, for it lies inherent within all of us. And although other thoughts are there, yet consciously or unconsciously it is working and will rise to the surface one day. That is why you are told frequently in satsang that the past is the past. Forgive and forget. And do not make a foundation of bad thoughts, or there will undoubtedly be reactions. You will be the loser, for again you will revolve on the cycle of births and deaths. So with love, The masters encourage their children to change their habits while there is still time. With great compassion for humanity, Swamiji is telling us, for how long will you try to deceive your guru? Now recognize what he is. Hiding the true facts, you think, what does the guru know? What we want to do is correct. You get hold of an idea and place it above all else, considering everyone else to be wrong, even if your guru tells you something different. How long will you keep this up? Make no mistake. He watches our every action. But the guru power is residing within our very being. But we foolishly think that he is not present to see us. So we can do anything and he will not know. He entreats us to try and realize what a guru is. The guru is not the physical form. He is not the human pole. He is the all-omnipresent power of God, which has manifested therein. It is accepted that God is everywhere and sees everything. Give full attention to learn what the guru is, and then come to know it. He has love for everyone, for his own, for all others, even for those who are against him. His wish is to do good to all. And even though a knife were put into his neck, he would not think ill of the wrongdoers. He is different and expresses this wealth of love and forgiveness because of the guru power in him. So he says we should stop all this deceit. If one thinks one's guru is a guru, then obey him. After all, he does not give bad advice. Sometimes it is possible that two idiots can be bound together in love, breaking the chains of the creeds that are binding them, whereas intellectual people would snap the silken threads of love without hesitation. Guru Mukh loses and lets the world win. He who loses out of love and humility, in actual fact, wins the day, for he has saved what he has stored. Otherwise, in the fire of anger, his precious store would have been consumed to ashes. If there is no ire in a person, not even a wisp of smoke will be seen. Try to recognize your guru, for Satsang is concerned with the guru, not with a mere human being. When you go to the Satsang, go in his remembrance, for he is God in human form. Be present there in his remembrance, and when you take leave, take that remembrance with you. We should exploit these qualities, which will assist us to join back to God, and discard all traits which are liable to lead you away from him. It is not difficult to realize the Lord, but it is most difficult to become a man, a true human being. 100 times and more we bow our heads and say, yes, yes, I will do it. But in action, we do just as we please. This indicates that as yet we do not truly understand the spiritual path. If you have not as yet changed your old habits, then do so at once. Make a start now. To have bad thoughts for others. To take sides in enmity, like a lawyer criticizing the lives of your fellow beings. Would you not expect the fire to flare up within you? The guru sees all events with a different eye, where every man sees from his own level. If you have accepted someone as being superior to you, then obey him. A teacher who has not reached a higher level can easily be the cause of a further downfall. Those from the higher level always strive to reunite all humanity. You came to the satsang to realize the truth, to be free from your miseries, to fulfill all this, what you learn, to be adopted and reflected in your homes and daily living, that peace and happiness may blossom forth in you and in those who surround you. The satsang is a place of special purity, and even your thoughts should be pure as long as you are there. No other thought save that of the Lord should enter your head. And whatever advice you hear, live up to it. If you obey, without exception, you will change for the better. If not, you will suffer the consequence. Guru is not just a man, and whoever looks upon him from that angle of vision is gravely mistaken. Kabir says, he who considers the guru a mere man will retrogress into in the lower species, birth after birth. The God in him is the guru. Though we respect his physical form because he is manifesting therein, whatever he tells us, whether it appears to be correct or not, should be the utmost importance and interest to us. Otherwise, and with emphasis, I repeat, that life will become complicated and nothing but misery will result. You can say that it is actually preparing the way for unhappiness. We attend satsangs to increase our joy for those around us too. And when the soul is reunited with God, it will reflect all his qualities. God in the guru is all compassion. And without disclosing our sins, he washes us clean, free from undesirable impurities. When the child becomes dirty with filth, the mother does not throw him away, but washes him with loving attention and draws him close to her breast. The soul of man is very dear and precious, so we may loathe the sin, but rather love the sinner. If all men refrained from wrongdoing, there would be peace and happiness everywhere. Your aim is to become masters. You will succeed only when you first understand what you fear and then become that. Do not think of the guru as a man. He is the life of Sat Purush, truth one. The question is, who is a guru? That is not a new one. It has ever been asked through the ages. When it was put to Guru Nanak, he said, Shabd is the guru, and the Sharad is the disciple. The ever-existing God, or his expression, is the Shabd, and the attention is the disciple. When Kabir Sayyid was asked the same question, he said, my guru is above the Gagan, heaven, and the disciple is in the body. When our attention gets connected with him, our coming and going is finished. The greatest being ever born, he, you should know, is my guru. He is the light itself, at which pole he is manifested, and only can give the light to others. By this, the seeker can recognize the criterion of the true guru. Christ said, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. At which pole this wealth is found, you can be sure there is something else there too, worthy of your obedience. He has not come for any particular person, but loves everyone. He will wash anyone clean, regardless of their condition. Those who are wise enough to obey him will find their progress flourishing. Sadhguru's words, words are the sacrament. The words he utters are he himself, and those who bow down to his words will truly get salvation. But those who bow in hypocrisy will then go will then do whatever they choose with the thought that the guru does not know, and it makes their life miserable. That which is hidden in us is apparent in the guru. And wherever you find it blossoming forth in fullness, there you will get the experience. Anyone can talk on any subject, for or against, with a little training. But when a person receives something, there is no question of doubt. The power of the guru, the very life of the Satpurush, is forever and will never die. When it worked through the pole named Jesus, they called it the Christ power. And it works through various human poles according to the age. Whoever is fortunate to be connected with this power will find that he never leaves them. Somehow or other, make your mind understand, and then put all your attention in him. So I'll stop there, and today we read from Change Your Habits Now, which can be found in the February 1971 issue of Satsang Dish. And then also, Don't Think Evil of Others, which can be found in Morning Talks. So thank you, Master, for letting us come and have satsang, your wonderful satsang. Thank you for letting us be here and sit at your feet. Amen.
And thank you, Eric, for reading for us. There were 58 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
I love you with all your imperfections. Why? Because you are sons of God. He called a life with you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body, make the best use of the man body you have got. Only for that reason.